You know, when we have this incredible worship, I just want to go, okay, we've got it, let's go. That was just amazing. Just so amazing, because he is so amazing. And I'm so excited. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited just to be alive in this time? Aren't you excited with the things that God is unveiling, the transformation and the transition that he's bringing us into? I mean, he's revealing mysteries. I mean, how cool is that? How cool is that? So, Father, we just say you're cool. You're just the greatest and you're the best. You are the best, best Father there could ever be. Lord, you are always with us. You are always for us. You're never against us. You always have the answers. Your love is never, never fails, Lord God. Your hand is not too short. Your arm is not too short. Your strength doesn't lack anything. But, Lord, you are the all in all. In all, and we glorify you and thank you and just lift you up, because we love you and we see you, Lord. We see you and we feel you, because you're in us, and because in our spirit man, Lord God, we can feel your presence. We can feel you leaning in as we lean into you. We can feel you, feel, this is hard for me to say with my Hoosier accent. We can feel, F-E-E-L, as you fill, F-I-L-L, us. And it's awesome. And I'm going to get it out there. But I say those words alike, and I know I do. So Lord, we just glorify you because you're so great. You're just so great. Amen. Amen. Whoa. Well, I mean, it's jam-packed here tonight. It's jam-packed. Apostle Bob called me this afternoon and said they wouldn't be able to be here this evening. Apostle Linda had a procedure done this morning, and she's not feeling quite up to snuff yet. That's one of those procedures where they have to put you under. And so she's still just kind of recovering from all of that. Everything's fine and dandy. It was just a procedure. But they're at home recuperating. Apostle Bob's taking care of her while she recuperates, right? So it's all good, and I know a couple of people called and told me they couldn't be here, so I knew it was going to be smaller, and I told Apostle Bob that, but I said, who cares? You know, who cares? I said, the big deal is we're here in the sanctuary, and what we're doing releases something in the atmosphere that then on Sunday or any other time that God wants to move in the atmosphere in a certain way, the door's already been opened. Because that's what God's been doing, is he's been opening doors in the spirit realm, and we've been going through them. We've been going into new realms and new dimensions, and allowed ourselves to see and discover what God wants us to see and discover. I mean, I feel like a kid at Disneyland, but I'm a kid in spirit land. It's like, oh, what do you want to show me? I want to see it. You know, I do. I want to see it. I really, really, really want to see it. And whatever level you are at seeing, sensing, feeling, however it is that God communicates to you in the way, it makes no difference. Whether you feel it, you see it, you sense it, it just doesn't really matter. You do is what matters. And so don't, if you do it one way and not another, don't worry about it. I don't seem to have a primary way. I zip in and out of all of them. And that's okay, and I don't seem to have any control over which one it's going to be either. So I just go with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound like a grand idea? So when I got here, Amy shared with me that when she was doing her devotional reading through the Bible this morning, that she was in Numbers 6, and that's where the Aaron's blessing is. And so she said that the Lord really revelated something to her. So then she revelated it to me. So I'm now going to revelate it to you. So isn't this cool? So first I'm going to speak it over to you. And then I'm going to tell you why it so applies to what we're doing. So this is Numbers 6, verse 22. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus shall you bless Wait a minute, my little glasses slipped down. Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons. Oops, skipped a page. Oops. On the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Well, there was a particular word that stood out to Amy, and the word was invoke. So I've got the Hebrew dictionary on my phone. Don't you love technology sometimes? This is what invoke means. Are you ready? It means to make for, transform into, constitute, fashion, work, bring to pass, appoint, give, to set, or make for a sign to be set, to ordain, establish, found, appoint, determine. And so out of all that list of words, I always wait for the Holy Spirit to say which word it is. What the Holy Spirit said it was constitute. So then I looked that up in the Webster's Dictionary. Do you want to know what constitute means? It means to form something new. And that is so prophetically accurate to where we were at, the time that we're in, and what God is doing, and what this training is all about, is God is forming something new. And he wants to form it through us. And so when the Lord told Moses what to do and to speak to Aaron and his sons, they were the priests. And we are priests and kings. That's what the Bible tells us. When you're born again, you're a priest and a king. And so we can invoke the name of Jesus on the city of Detroit. We can invoke the name of Jesus on our grandchildren. We can invoke the name of Jesus on our neighbor. And what that's saying is that, God, we're sending Jesus over there to form whatever it is that you want to form for this day, for this hour. And it's a blessing. And it causes God's face to turn towards them and his face to shine upon them and his countenance to shine upon them. And it's a blessing, not only to them, but for generations and generations and generations. And I'm just like, God, you're so cool. You're so cool. I mean, he's so intricate in how he weaves together. I mean, Amy hadn't looked up what that word meant. And so I said, well, I've got that on my phone. So when I looked it up and I read through that long list, and the Holy Spirit's always faithful to make one of those words stand out. And so tonight we're going to talk about forming. So we're going to be invoking tonight. So just be ready and know it's a blessing. And know not only are you being invoked upon, but you can turn around and invoke upon something else. So, and it doesn't even, it can be anything. You can invoke on the mountains. You can invoke upon the river. You can invoke upon everything, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so this is just incredible. You know, I started with week one. I'm going to do just a real fast recap that the keys here in this time, in this place where we're at in God's timeline, the key to going deeper in the spirit realm, going deeper, higher, is the same thing, is union with Christ. I'm in Jesus, and he's in me. Union. We are united, and we cannot be parted. And I shared with you that one of the definitions of union that most stirs my heart is that ancient rabbis described it as taking a glass of water and pouring it into the ocean. That's me united with Christ. You can't even find me to get me out. I've become part. I've become absorbed. I'm in it. I'm in it. And I can't even be separated. So it makes those verses in Romans 8 at the end that says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not angels, not demons, not powers and principalities, you know, wars and rumors of wars, and, you know, who likes you and how much money you have, I added to the list. But the list is very inclusive, because what God is saying is nothing can separate you from my love. And that the other pillar for the doorway of going into deeper into the supernatural, one pillar is union with Christ. The other pillar is love. God's not going to let us go without love. And here's the reason why. Because he wants to form something. And he wants to partner with us because we're going to be his voice. We're going to speak it. And so if we don't have a heart of love, and which means you got to deal with the things that come your way and get through somehow and pierce your heart. So if somebody hurts your feelings, if you're disappointed or discouraged because of some event or something that happened, you've got to give that to the Lord and let him heal your heart so that your heart can be whole. So that you, when you go into this place of partnering with God, and talks all about that in the books of Peter, and I love those books because I love being partnered with God. But when you're partnered with God, he says that we have everything that we need for godliness. It's all there. We don't need to achieve anything. God's not saying be a eager beaver super achiever. He's not saying that. He's saying, I made you an eager beaver super achiever. So you don't have to go be a, you don't have to go get that all the time. You don't have to prove yourself all the time. You don't have to do all this stuff of striving and proving yourself. It's just not necessary. In another season, it might have seemed necessary, but in reality, it was never necessary because the word says it's not. And so it's his love. It's his love. It's his love. It's his love. So, I want to quote Jonathan David here, and then I'm just going to tell you a couple of stories to provoke you before we invoke. I'm going to provoke. You want to get provoked? I'm going to provoke your spirit. I'm going to make you so hungry and so stirred up, you're not going to be able to stand not to go. So, because that's how I feel. It's like, oh, I got it. So Jonathan David, as he prophesied over the year, and it was a long prophecy, but this one line caught me. He says, the roar of the lion will be heard. I will once again pour out my spirit on my sons and daughters, and they will prophesy and recreate a new earth on this earth. Now, that's a whole bunch of forming. So this is why there's going to be a whole bunch of invoking. That even sounds weird, doesn't it? That's why it's fun to say it. And so, because I feel like I'm being unleashed of religiosity by saying that kind of stuff, you know? And I think I am. So I like that. But that is what it takes. God's going to reform a new earth on the earth. Now, this isn't the future New Jerusalem and all that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what God's going to design and form for this new era. And we're the people here. This is why it's so exciting. That's why I can so relate to the line in the Old Testament that says it'll be the best and the worst of days. Because you can look through one scope and it is the worst. And you can look through God's telescope and it's the best. It's the best of the best. It's a privilege to be here. It is awesome. It is awesome. It is really awesome. One person that I listen to a lot says that this time is so critical that your grandchildren will ask you, what did you do during when all of this was happening? All of this forming was going on. What was your part? Where were you? What did you do? Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to be watching from the bench because Christ is in me. And that's the qualification. And to keep my heart pure. Like it says in Psalm 24, clean hands and a pure heart. And I can go right up there, partner with God, and speak out those things that he wants me to speak out and not be intimidated by him. So, okay, now I'm going to provoke you. Are you ready? So, now I know some of you in here saw this. But even if you did, you were already provoked. This will restir it. So I watch the Elijah streams. I really like them. I've been watching them for a long time. And I don't usually watch them live. I usually catch them on the replay because usually I want to start and stop them because I'm doing other things. And they're usually an hour or so long. But on Monday, Steve Schultz was interviewing Robin Bullock, and I watched it live. And I mean, it was like I was glued to my little phone screen. And Don came in and asked me a couple of questions, and I just like wave my hand like, get out of here, because I cannot turn my eyes away for a second. I can't turn my ear away for a second. So this is how Steve Schultz started this, the interview. This is Elijah Streams is where Steve Schultz, he's the Elijah Streams guy, he interviews national prophets. And so they talk about something. So with Robin Bullock, they usually decide about 2 minutes before what they're going to talk about. And so he started out showing this little video clip. And this little video clip was from a camera in Washington, D.C. that was on a building that you could see the White House, and then you could see part of the whole skyscape of Washington, D.C. And in the sky, first of all, the sky was a weird color. It was kind of orangey. And in the sky was this orange ball that looked like it could be the moon. We're not going to look at it now. People can find it. You can look it up on YouTube, Elijah Streams, February 6th. So they looked, and he showed this video, and this was taken from one of those cameras that's just on a building that's always taking the cityscape, always viewing it. So the sky is kind of orange in this one area, and there's an orange ball, kind of looks like the moon, but it never moves. And then to the side of this orange ball that looks like a moon that never moves are these orbs of light that are moving all around. And so he says to Robin Bullock, so what do you think that is? Nobody's talking about it, but there it is, you know, very, very visible, and it's been happening night after night in Washington, D.C. And they even tell you what camera they're looking at, so you can go look at it too, because it's one of those public access things. And so later on in the interview, they showed it, and Robin Bullock was not aware of this video. He did not know this video was out there. He had never seen it. No one had ever talked to him about it. So he had Steve Schultz replay the video again during the interview. And then at a certain point, he said, stop it right there. And so then he asked, well, what does that look like to you? And I had already seen like faces in this area that were evolving. And they were not pretty faces. They looked like demonic faces. You know, they looked like demonic faces. That just sums it up. They look like demonic faces. And he says, that's what they look like to me too. And so I say that to provoke you that there are portals that are opening, and nobody knows. I mean, you can only speculate how this is happening and what's behind it and all of that, unless the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge. But I do know that there is a place in Switzerland that it's on the border of Switzerland and France. It's a city called CERN, C-E-R-N. You can look this up. You can Google this. Not right now, but you can Google it later. You can read about this. And in CERN, way underground, over 500 feet under the underground, they have a scientific instrument that, this is hard to believe, but this is, I read it in several articles. It's over 20 miles in diameter. So I don't even know how you physically do this, but this thing is real. It's physically real, and it costs billions of dollars to build it. And what this is a super collider. And what it is able to do is it could cause the atmosphere to rotate like super duper fast. And what the people who own all of this are trying to do is open realms in the supernatural. They're not looking for God. Just saying. Just saying. And this has been going on for more than 10 years. Okay? Because they've now replaced the first collider machine with a new rebuilt one that's faster yet. And they want to open realms. And I'll just leave it at that because I'm provoking you. You can go look this stuff up. I mean, it's like, it's shocking when you first read it. If you don't know about this stuff, the first time you hear about it, you're going, or this is what I did. I'm like, what? Is that real? Because as much as I respect somebody, when it's something like that, I've got to research it myself. I got to read it myself. I have to see it with my own eyes. And this is easy to find. I mean, it's easy to find stuff about CERN and the super collider and what they're trying to do. They're trying to access supernatural powers in supernatural realms, but not through God. So if you're going to access supernatural powers, supernatural realms, not through God, you know what you're hooking into is the demonic. There only is the two. And so, and if you remember, I mean, nothing's new under the sun, right? Back in Moses' day, in the days of Pharaoh, when the Lord said, okay, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and I'm going to have you do these signs and wonders. And God says to Moses, take that staff that's in your hand and throw it down on the ground. And so Moses didn't know what was going to happen. So he threw it on the ground, and the staff turned into a snake, and Moses was afraid. He had not experienced the supernatural in that way, so it made him jump back. I mean, when you jump back, that's just the natural flesh response. So I'm sure he jumped back because that's just what you do. It's a reflex. And so then the Lord had to say to him, okay, now take hold of it. Well, it didn't, you know, when you read through there, it didn't seem like he wanted to take hold of it real bad. But he did take hold of it. And then he went to Pharaoh, and God said, throw your staff down, and he did, and it was a snake. And the sorcerer said, we can do that. So they threw their staffs down, and so now there was a whole pile of snakes. But what happened? The snake that God brought forth, the supernatural that he brought forth, consumed the supernatural of the enemy. That's the point. The supernatural of God. You don't have to be afraid of the supernatural, the enemy, and you have to know it's real. And you know, if you've got some religious spirits or you have some kind of training in your background that anything that touched the supernatural was part of something you weren't supposed to touch. And so they just quietly took all of that, those scriptures out of the Bible and put them in a closet somewhere and lock the door. You know, I grew up not in Michigan. I grew up in the Bible Belt. And I went to, after I got saved when I was 13, I went to, and I did not come from a Christian family, so nobody talked about this stuff at my house. So my little 13-year-old brain just kind of figured everything out and filtered it at its 13-year-old age, so you can just imagine. And everything that was supernatural or anything to do with that, because the occult had a hand in it, it was just forbidden. And so I was afraid of that kind of stuff. And when I had prophetic giftings, when I would sense things and would happen, or I would have dreams and things would happen, and you know, started to have inklings of prophetic. Well, first of all, no, there wasn't even the word prophetic, much less any explanation for it. So you just kept all that stuff inside, and you never told anybody because you weren't even sure if it was God or what it was. So I had a lot of religiosity that had to be dug out of me to not be afraid, to be willing to embrace it, and then even be willing to help to train people to step into it. I remember, and I know this is why God brought me, Susie Armstrong, to Harvest. I remember this because I journaled this. So this was a long time ago because the kids were still at home, and I got grandkids now, so they haven't been home for a long time. But the kids were at home, and I waited one day till they went to school because I had felt the press of the Holy Spirit for, seemed like ever, to let him just show me what he wanted to show me. And I was so scared because I thought for sure it would be demons. And I didn't want to see a demon because all I'd ever heard about the supernatural were demon things by occult people. And I didn't want anything to do with all that. And so I just gave it up. And I sat down on the end of the sofa and I just said, okay, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to see. Because every time the Lord would open my eyes, I would turn my head. I wouldn't look. I don't want to see that stuff. I didn't know what to do with it. So I said, whatever you want me to see. Here's what he showed me. He showed me downtown Detroit, the cityscape of downtown Detroit. And I saw God's throne over the city of Detroit, high and lifted up over the city. That's what he showed me. It looked nothing like a demon. Now, I have seen demons. But that was my introduction. I mean, I'm sure you all have a story. That was my introduction into allowing myself to see or experience in the spirit realm. Because like I told you, sometimes I see it physically, you know, like I see it, I see the colors, I see it all. Now other times I just feel it. And then other times I just sense it. So I experience it however God decides I'm going to experience at that time. I don't have a one way. And so it doesn't really matter that you whether you see it or not. But at that time, he let me see it. I saw it. It was very recognizable. I could see what a throne was. I could see the city of Detroit. I could see it was way up and high over the city. It wasn't too hard to interpret. And so I say all that to say, no matter where you're at, in this era, because God wants to invoke his blessing upon the earth, because he wants to create a new earth upon the earth, that wherever we are at in accessing and embracing and releasing the supernatural, he wants to take us to a new place. Now, I know you're provoked and want to go. I mean, how could you not want to go? Because God put us here for this time to go. He put us here to go. He's already put it in our DNA. We're a prophetic people. He's put it in our DNA to want to do this because we're called to it. We're called to it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to go to church here. I mean, it's just that clear because we would be all too weird. We're a collection of weirdos, you know, and we are. We don't walk to the normal beat because if we walked to the normal beat, we wouldn't be here. We are an abnormal people as it relates to normal culture. And since now it's so revealing how weird normal culture is, I'm so glad I'm not part of it. but for many years, I felt like the outcast because I never kind of fit all of that, whatever that was at that time and space. So, and I'm not projecting all of my experiences on you, but just want you to know you have experiences too. Because the devil doesn't want us to embrace the supernatural. And the church has shut it down at large. Shut it down. I mean, at this church, we prophesy. We've been prophesying for a lot of years. I was already here when the prophetic came in. And so it's been a lot of years that we've been prophesying here. And I love it that we do that. And we worship prophetically. And we make place for the prophetic. We make place and we draw upon the presence of God. And he responds to it. He loves it, and his presence comes in, and that doesn't happen everywhere you go. Even though they may love the Lord, they draw the Lord in a different way. They have a different DNA in them, and so. But our DNA is very experiential. It's very touchy-feely. We want to sense God. Feel him. We want to feel his presence. We want to hear him when he walks in the door. We want to see him when he presses his face down into our atmosphere. Well, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, we were in worship, and I sit over there, and my eyes were drawn up here to this corner, and I saw a new portal open up. And immediately, I saw a white ladder come down, and then I saw a silver ladder come down, and then I saw tons of angels. They were just very quickly were going up and down, up and down. And when they came down, they were coming out here. And if you were here that Sunday, they were doing business with you. They didn't tell me what their business was, but they were doing it. I don't know if they gave us something, if they took something, you know, I don't know what they did because God didn't give me that revelation. But he did draw my attention to see this portal open up and to see the ladders come in and even what color they were and to see the angels going up and down and up and down and in amongst us. And they were doing God's bidding because that's what the angels do. And so when I came in this past Sunday, first thing I wanted to do was look up there and go, well, is that still there? Well, it is. It is. We've got another portal. Well, I'm going to go back to CERN. Because there's so much that people either think that it's just wrong to talk about the supernatural and portals and wormholes and all of that kind of stuff, that only belongs to the occult, or they think they're just not gifted in it. Anyway, there's bunches of people just turn their back on it, like I used to. I just didn't know what to do with it, so I just thought doing nothing was the answer for me. we'll just skip over that. But God's now drawing us into this place. Drawing us into this place. And if you follow the story of Moses, and I know you know the story of Moses, and that his signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in front of Pharaoh, that the magicians, the sorcerers, were able to imitate them for a couple, and then they couldn't imitate them anymore. And the sorcerers themselves told Pharaoh, he's hooked into the real God. We can't do that. Don't you know that's where God wants to take us? Aren't you provoked? Aren't you provoked? And then God says, you know, God takes them through all of those plagues and all of those signs. And the night before, you know, the angel of death went through and they did the Passover and all that. God says to Moses, he says, you know, tonight's the night. I'm paraphrasing. Tonight's the night. This is it. This is the last one. He says, but here's what I've done. When you leave Egypt, I've already turned their hearts to be favorably disposed towards you. So they're just going to give you whatever you want. So everything you need, all your supply, is going to be given to you by the Egyptians. And you know what? It happened. Pretty supernatural. Pretty supernatural. And then, of course, you know the stories about being out in the wilderness and how Moses' eyes, they never failed. He never got cataracts. He didn't need bifocals. You know, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God fed them with manna. I mean, it was just one miraculous event after another. And then God would get irritated because they didn't believe. Well, here's a warning to us. God is getting ready and is actually already moving in incredible signs and wonders and demonstrations of the power of his Spirit. And if we don't believe it, we will be no different than those Israelites that were in the desert. I read the testimony from Mario Murillo. He's a really cool evangelist. He's been holding all these evangelistic meetings in California, especially a year ago before, you know, you weren't even supposed to be meeting, but they never shut his meetings down. He did the big tent meetings. Well, I don't know how he got involved in doing one in Florida, but somehow he did. And this is just last week. And he was uncomfortable about it because he had not been able to connect with pastors in advance. There hadn't been any promotion in advance. And this is his testimony. I read it. It was on Facebook. You can look it up, read it yourself. And so he was provoked because he thought, I have rules. Now, get this in your spirit. Mario Murillo said, I have set myself rules. And one of my rules is I don't go if there hasn't been enough time to advertise. And for me to connect, because I'm not going and the people don't even know. And so he was sort of kicking himself on the backside because he thought, why am I even doing this? Because I broke my own rules. So he goes. They pitch the tent. They start to worship. God's presence comes. So amazing. He starts preaching salvation. And he gets to a point in the message where the Holy Spirit says, stop. They're ready. Call them forward. He calls them forward. He says, so many people came that he says, wait a minute, wait a minute. He says, this is for people that don't know Jesus. So if you're recommitting yourself, don't come. Because so many people were coming forward that they just didn't have any way to deal with it. And when he said that, he said only a handful turned around and went back to their seats. That literally hundreds and hundreds of people came forward. He says he doesn't even know what the number is. They weren't prepared for it. And he broke his own rule. But he went. He wasn't even sure why he went. And God took him into a new place. Now, don't you know he's going to do that for you too? Don't you know he is? Don't you know it? I mean, don't you know it? He is. That's the season we're in. It's the season we're in. It's the season we're in. And even though he went with maybe even a little attitude, it still happened. So don't get religious about your attitude. Because Mario Murillo says right up front, he had an attitude. He goes, why am I here? I broke my own rule. I said I'm not doing this. I have a suspect that in the old season, maybe he had some bad experiences doing that. But this isn't the old season. And God's doing cartwheels to prove to us this is not the old. So whatever your attitudes are from the old, pitch them. Because it's time for a new attitude. It's time for new hunger. It's time for a new openness in our spirit. Because God has got our DNA ready for this. Ready for this. Ready for this. Okay. Story. But you know why we tell these stories? Because it tells us in Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. These are testimonies. They build our faith. They're real people that we know. And even if you might not personally know Mario Murillo, and I sure don't, I've sure seen him on Flashpoint enough times and seen him on Facebook enough times, I know who he is. I don't have to meet him to know who he is. So, now I'm going to come real close to home. So, I come in Sunday. And usually, you know, I'm here early, and my sister Amy's here early. And so, the first thing she tells me, I'm going to have her tell her story. This is real. This is real. This is our worship leader, our friend, our sister. Amy Cam had this experience last Saturday.
Can I give a little bit of backup
story? Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what happened was a week ago when we had our Wednesday online, right before about an hour and a half before I went live to do the worship, I got a phone call that... And it was from someone that I have great high respect for and love, but our conversation went a little south, in my estimation. And it was just like this little jab that the enemy was trying to get me off. And so I was dealing with attitude. Oh my God! You know, so I had to really press, and so we did, and. And then I walked through the next several days with the Lord talking to him about, you know, like kind of venting to God about this conversation that I had and how, you know, it was about music. And so, boy, you're talking about, you know, where I'm at and what I'm doing and kind of thing. And so on Saturday, I was up in my art room, sitting in a rocking chair, just fellowshipping with God. And I have a lot of skylights. And I'm sitting there, and it was raining, so I don't know exactly when that was. But there was, no, you know what, it might not even have been raining. There was no rain. There was no rain. That was it. And there was ice up there. All of a sudden, one of my skylights starts dripping. Well, I was kind of venting to God about this person. And my skylight starts dripping. I mean, I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to get that replaced. Darn it, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. We'll do that in the spring. And I didn't think much of it, except that it happened when I was complaining. And, you know, it's like God was going, hello. Well, about 4 or 5 hours later, because that was in the morning, I'm in the kitchen. We have all new skylights in the kitchen. I was having that same conversation with God again. Just that negative was rising up, and I'm standing at the sink like this, and all of a sudden, drip, like, right here. And I went, and I looked up, and I went, that is a brand new skylight, Lord. What's going on here, you know? So I was like, okay. I repented. I got with him. He showed me what to fix. So this was him fine-tuning me, right? Okay, so come Saturday, I'm preparing for Sunday, and I'm still having issues in my heart about the focus of the music, and I'm sitting at the piano, and I'm like giving myself over to the direction that that I know God has given. And it wasn't like okay, so I'm pressing into this place, and this brand new song is coming to me. You set a fire down in my soul. Yeah, you set a fire down in my soul. So my mind is clear, my heart is clear, the direction's clear. We're generating the fire. We're acknowledging Holy Spirit. We're loving on Him, and all of a sudden, my smoke alarm. It doesn't do a chirp, like maybe the battery's going. It doesn't go beep beep beep. It just goes beep like that, and I go, and I knew it was God, and I'm like. All of a sudden, this holy awe came. I mean, it's like literally, this was my posture. I stopped playing and I went, oh, the fire. It's like it was so real that it could happen. It could fall right then and there. I stopped. I love God and I know He's not going to hurt me. But it was like my first experience of holy fear. And I'm a person that loves thunder. If God is speaking in the thunder, I'll go right outside. It's like, take me now. And that rolling thunder is like the best when it's rolling around you. But boy, that little beep. And it wasn't a short chirp. It was a beep. And I was like, oh God. This holy awe. And I knew it was Him. And I was like, I was smiling, but I didn't play anymore that night because I was like, I feel too immature. I feel like I'm not sure if I can handle this. And it felt like love and I don't know how to describe it. It was this holy awe, but that was me. So if on Sunday you see me go and stop playing, you'll know what's going on.
But what this demonstrates was she went into a new realm. She went into a new realm with her worship, even with a little tood, but she had to repent from and let it go. But see, when God says that He casts as far as the east from the west, that's for real. So you don't need to trailer it in your mind and rehearse it over and over and over again in your mind. Because once that was gone, zoop. Right into a new realm of the supernatural. That's a realm of glory. The fire comes out of God's glory. Amy had never worshiped before, and all the worshiping you've done through all of the years that you've been a worshiper, which is all your life, you've never set off the smoke alarm between you and God, have you?
No.
So it was a new realm of glory.
But it was enough stories.
Yes, you knew.
I heard enough stories about that happening that when it happened, I mean, literally, the fire department could have come, and I wouldn't have been surprised, because the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire that lit on them, the fire that is gonna, you know, be over our church and
Yay.
Set off the sprinklers.
Yeah. So let's be real about that. She's our worship leader. She leads us into the place of glory. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You, Father, for Your fire. Lord, we just say right now, we open up our hearts. We open up our bones, our cells, our DNA, Lord God. And we say, Lord God, that fasten us to the fire of Your heart, like it says in Song of Songs, Lord God. That all-consuming fire of passion, Lord God. That, Father, even though that holy awe comes, Father, we will not back up. We will not sit down. We will not go away somewhere else, but You made us for this time. You made us for these new realms. And so, Lord, that's what this gathering is all about, to say we are the people that say yes. We are the people that will go into the new realms. And so, Lord, we say bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring the fire on. Cause the ladder truck to come. Let the neighbors see fire on the roof line to this church, Lord God. We say, Lord, we are Your people. And You are our God, and we want this. We want this. We want this. We want this. We are We are the people. We are your people, and we worship at your footstool. We are. We're the ones because you chose us. You chose us. You chose us before the foundations of the earth. You set it in our books. All of this is written in our books before we were born. These books are in heaven, Lord God. And right now, you're revealing what's in these books at this place concerning us corporately, and we just say, yes, Lord, yes, 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 and we are provoked. And I'm going to read to you Song of Songs 8:6-7. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. We do it, Lord God, we do it. We place it over our entire being. Next verse, listen to this. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. It can't be put out. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within us. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as we yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem like it's a sacrifice anymore. This is the word of the Lord, and we believe it, and we say we receive it. We receive it, Lord God. Demonstrate it, manifest it, Lord, not because we want to see these incredible wonders, although we will be in awe, but because we are yours and you are ours, because we are united with Christ. We are one with him. We are one flesh, Lord God. We are one body, one flesh. In this time, in this new era, when you want to recreate a new earth on the earth, and we are your people, we're your prophetic people, Lord, and we're not afraid of the supernatural. And Lord God, we see that the occult powers reaching in and pulling the demonic up, and that they're pulling new things up. I mean, we're seeing it on cameras. It's real. But Lord God, your glory, your supernatural swallows that up and puts it to nothing. So Lord, we'll be your forerunners. We'll be your people. Come and take us into these realms of the supernatural. Lord God, we don't understand it, but we don't have to understand it. We just trust you and believe you, Lord God, and say that we're willing. We're willing. We're willing. We're willing. And we want it. Lord, we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. We're the people, we're the people, we're the people, we're your people. We're your people, God, and we are on fire. We are on fire. We are on fire. We are on fire. And we love you, Lord God. We love you. We love you. We love you. Acts 6:8 says, Stephen, or you can put your name in there. So I'll say Susie, who was a woman full of grace and supernatural power, performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles among the people. Luke 6:19, the entire crowds eagerly tried to come near Jesus to touch him, to receive healing, because a tangible, supernatural power emanated from him and healed all who even came close to him. Whoa! And then we see Peter carried that after Jesus ascended. We see that. So we can carry it. We can carry it. Acts 26:22, I just took out part of the verse. I have received the supernatural help of God. Woo! I, Susie Armstrong, have received the supernatural help of God. He's calling me into a place that I don't even know where it is, but I'm willing to go. Colossians 2:1-4. I wish you could know how much I have struggled for you and for the church in Laodicea. This is Paul. And for the many other friends I've yet to meet, I'm contending for you that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together in love's fabric. This will give you access. You hear this? Access. This is the key. This will give you access to all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ. For our spiritual wealth is in him, the hidden treasure waiting to be discovered, heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. I want you to know this so that no one will come and lead you into the error through persuasive arguments and clever words. God's saying, don't be talked out of it. Don't be talked out of it. Believe me. That's really what he was saying to the Israelites. He did all these incredible things, but they would get talked out of it. And don't think, well, they were dumb or they were ancient or they were whatever. They're no different than us. And the enemy will come to try to talk us out of it. Whatever narrative he'll use, he's got one crafted already for you and for me. And God's saying, don't get talked out of it. Don't get talked out of what I have for you. Because I am opening realms of glory for you to step into and discover. And in those places of stepping in and discovery, I will put my word in your mouth and you will speak and recreate the earth on the earth in this new era. And that's the prophetic truth. That is the prophetic truth, period. Okay. I'm going to read you this word. Our Apostle Bob prophesied this word. This was early in January. I didn't write down the date, but it happened right here. One Sunday when there was a whole bunch of people that prophesied. And he said this, and this is the most significant word, and this ties into the supernatural. I don't know if he knew that. Sometimes we say stuff and we don't even know what we're saying because we're saying it by the Spirit. But anyway, this is what he prophesied. And I say that you are that people that I am raising up. I have placed the code of my Spirit on the inside of you. You will break the code in the natural. Rise up and take your place. I have given you a new city. That city is the city of my Spirit. I am putting the code of my Spirit on the inside of you. You will be filled again and again. I have given you the language of that code. As you pray in the Spirit, listen for the code. Listen for the code to break the powers of darkness and release the glory of God. Receive my Spirit. A new nation is rising up and coming to light. It is the nation of Almighty God. It is the great I Am that is revealing the codes of heaven. Lift up my name and praise. Does this make a whole lot more sense tonight? Does it have a whole lot more meaning? You know, this will be in the next harvester, whatever month that is. I always get mixed up about that. But the next one that comes out, this will be in there. Take this word. Make it yours. Read it again and again. God is speaking to us. He's saying he's made us code breakers. He's made us code breakers. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. I got to go back to my story about the collider in CERN. No, that's not where I need to go. I need to go to Revelation 4. Sorry. Just skip that. Skip what I said. Revelation 4, verse 1 says, then suddenly, this is John, after I wrote down these messages, which is Revelation 1, 2, and 3, I saw a portal opened into the heavenly realm, and the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. I'm going to focus on the word happen here, because that's the word that the Lord had me focus on. So I'm going to tell you what this word happen means in Greek. This word happen comes from a word that is like our word for genome. A genome has the entire set of genetic instructions found in a cell. All the information needed to build, grow, and develop. No wonder in this era that we're in, we're reading so much about medical and science trying to manipulate DNA. They only imitate what God does. God says he's got that as we hear the code and he opens up these realms of glory to us and we go in because we're committed to go in, that there is going to be a download into us, which I think actually is probably already there, is probably more of an activation that is going to cause the genetics that we already carry for that to be formed in the earth, in this city that God is giving us, as it said in the prophetic word. That was to all of us. It wasn't to Susie and Amy because they're part of the staff. You know, that just doesn't make any difference. It just doesn't make any difference to God. We're in this together. So don't think it's not you, because it is you. It is you. When God said, "Let there be light," all of the genetic material was there to bring it forth and sustain it. So whatever he has you speak into, whatever he has you declare, and it doesn't even make any difference if you have confidence doing it or not, it's just doing it that counts. You don't have to do it loud or bold or, you know, those kinds of things, because that just doesn't matter. I just get loud because I get excited. And that's just my excitement coming out, because that's just the way I am. But the loud has nothing to do with it. You could whisper it, long as it's audible. It will carry all of the genome, the genetic material, and it can't be perverted. Darkness comes in, but it has never overcome light. Huh? You know, we've all turned on a little flashlight in a really dark room, and guess what? Light wins. It always, always wins. It always wins. And so whatever God has you speak into, we are going to see creative miracles. We're going to see bones and organ parts and all kinds of miraculous healings. And it's going to be as in the days of Paul, where we don't even keep track of the ordinary ones, because the extraordinary ones are so extraordinary. And this is what we are stepping into for real. This is what we are stepping into. And so what is God doing? He's reforming the inside of us, and he's activating that DNA that he's already put in us, that we're already carrying, because he's already determined what it is we're going to speak to. And when we speak it out, all of the essence of what needs to be there will be there, because it's God. So don't think this is just some, like, it's a supernatural class. No, it's not. This is us saying, we will do it. We will go. And God's saying, I've opened the door. I think I shared this the first time. This is a time you don't even have to push doors open. God has like flung them open and said, come on, come on. He's calling us through. He's calling us through. I know you felt it. He's calling us through. Wow. Wow. My. My. Okay, we're going to do an activation. I've got it all written down here. I know what we're going to do. I just got to breathe a minute. Yeah.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. You break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. I speak Jesus from the mountain and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. You break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my, amen. Now, no, you know that that name is already in us, and in those names, all of those names, we already have the genetic material of all of that. And God's going to cause us to speak those things, and they will be. They will be. They will create. Because that's what God said he's doing. He's going to create a new earth in the earth. And we're the people he's going to use. Just a small part of the people, because he's got people all over the earth, but we're a part. We are a part. So before we go into this activation, I want us to do communion because there is a holy awe that goes with this. This isn't something that we do lightly. We're making covenant. This is a covenant place. It's part of the calling that's on our hearts, on our lives. And it's a powerful place. It's a very powerful place, and we have to die to ourselves to stand into it. Because if we don't die to ourselves, our own agenda, our own hang-ups, our own whatevers, then God can't use us in this place, and he'll have to skip over us. But he's taught us a whole bunch on how to die to ourselves. And so we can do that. We can let go. We can let go of those things that we need to let go of. And remember that we're new creations in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. And we're no longer embracing a culture of death, but we are embracing a culture of life. Because our God is the life giver. He's the one who breathes life even into what might seem impossible to live. But he's also the one who breathes life into us and our family, our children, and the ones above us in our heritage and the ones below us in our heritage. You know, he's the one. Ta-Nehisi, come down and get a communion. Oh, did you put one on there? Okay. I'm glad you didn't leave, Ta-Nehisi, because you don't know yet I have a job for you. But it's coming up. He's laughing because he's just been waiting for this. So you knew you weren't going to get through 4 weeks without me picking on you. It's a little thing we have between us. Except I'm the one who has it. He's the one who gets it. That's the truth. But he knows I love him, and I do. So anyway, we're going to go back to communion here. I digress. But you know what? I'm not going to be religious. I'm just going to be Susie. Yeah. This is how I talk.
Yes.
And so I'm just talking how Susie talks. I'm not trying to do anything else. But Lord, we honor you as we have these elements in our hand, Lord God. For truly, Lord God, your body was broken for us to have eternal life. And your blood was spilled, Lord, and it covers us. And so we honor you as we prepare. I haven't opened this, so I got to open her up. Yeah. We honor you, Lord God, as we take the wafer. We think of you, Jesus, and your incredible sacrifice, your incredible love. Father God, your love that you gave your son. As a mom, it's more love than I can imagine. And I thank you. I give you honor. Oh, Lord, I bow down and I worship you. Thank you, Lord. I take this bread and I eat it in remembrance of the covenant that we have together. I may need help with my cup. Oh, no, I got it. Okay, I'll do it. Thank you. So we also thank you, Father, for the blood of the Lamb that covers us, that redeems us, that makes us the righteousness of Jesus, that just blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, that supernatural place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We take this blood in remembrance, honoring you. Wow. Wow. This is such a holy thing that we're doing. You know, really it is. Because we're positioning ourselves in a new place. And saying, we're coming. We'll come in, clean hands, pure heart. And I wanted to do that before we do this activation because this is, the Holy Spirit actually gave me this. I'm like, I've been praying and saying, I really don't know what to do to activate. So this came to me this morning. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. I'm not always the best at instructions, but I'll just go through it a couple times if I have to, and I probably will. So if you want to stand up and find yourself a partner, do that part first. Find yourself a partner. Does everybody have a partner? Partnered up somewhere? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Now, this is really different. Like I said, I may not explain it right the first time, so I might have to lap this a couple of times. I did practice this at home. I did tell Apostle Bob, so it helped me to practice it. So this is what we're going to do. Holy Spirit is forming something in you. So we are going to pray in tongues. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to highlight one thing to you that he's doing in you. Remember that it says in the Word that we are being formed in the likeness of Christ all the time. And so there's something that he's doing in you. You may already know, and it might be a surprise. It really doesn't matter. But we're going to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit is going to highlight something in you, not your partner, but you. And you're going to hear it. Both of you are going to do this, you and your partner. Then you're going to prophesy over yourself what it is that God shows you. And you're going to prophesy it, and your partner is going to witness it. You know, God's done this whole big thing with me about being witnesses in this time and season we're in. And so your partner is going to witness it, and then you'll trade sides, and then your partner will prophesy over herself or himself what God is showing. And you'll be the witness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to do a demo first because the Holy Spirit said, do a demo. So I've already prayed and I've asked the Holy Spirit, what are you working on in me that you want me to prophesy about? So the Lord says to you, Susie Armstrong, my daughter, that I am digging a new well in you. And I say to you, allow me to go to the places that I want to go. And open up even the secret places of your heart, because I have revelation in those places of who I've made you to be that you don't even know about yet. So I say to you, daughter, to come with me and trust me in this new place, for I'm forming a new well inside of you, and then I will put a pump on this well, and I will cause this well to break forth. And I say to you, daughter, that this is not a work that you will do yourself, but I will do in you. So watch and see what I will do. That's a demo. Okay? And now, if you don't say it as fluent, don't get hung up on that, just long as you say it. I don't think I'm one of the most fluent people, but don't get hung up, because it's not about fluency. It's about hearing and speaking it out loud. Okay? So we're going to pray in the Spirit, and then we have to decide who's going to go first. The taller one is going to go first, and then the other one will go second. Okay? So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're forming something in us. You're doing a work in us, Lord God. So we pray in the Spirit, Father. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring revelation to each person what you're doing, what one thing you're forming in them. Go ahead and go silent, and the taller one, prophesy over yourself what God is showing you, and you have a witness. If you haven't switched yet, go ahead and land. Let the first person land and switch. And if both of you are done, I guess just smile at each other for a second. Okay, if you're done, just look at me so I know that everybody's done so we can move on to the next part. Get ready, Ta-Nehisi. Okay, so this is what we just did. This is what we read in the beginning, in number 6, where it says, so they, meaning priests, the priests, and you were a priest to yourself this time, so they, the priests, shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. God's going to bless you in this place that he's showing you, even about yourself. You can prophesy over yourself. You can do that. David did it all the time. He called it encouraging himself in the Lord. He sought the Lord. He inquired of the Lord all the time. So this is not weird stuff. Jesus did it. His disciples want to know, what do you do when you go away? He was doing this kind of thing. What are you forming in me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And when you hear it, then speak it over yourself. Invoke, invoke. Which means, I brought it back up, I want to use the right word. It means to constitute, which is form. God is forming that in us, individually. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. Now, this is where Ta-Nehisi comes in. So come on down, Ta-Nehisi. So we invoked a blessing upon ourselves. Now, we could have done it for the other person, but I wanted you to, the Holy Spirit said, do it for yourself. First, well, we also can invoke a blessing on Detroit. And so we're going to pray in the Spirit again. You don't even really need a partner for this, but you can stay where you are just so we can get through this in a timely fashion. We're going to pray again, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you something that he wants to form in and over Detroit. And then we're going to... I'll pray in the Spirit again, you'll hear, and then you're going to speak those words out then Ta-Nehisi is going to hear those words. He's not going to remember all of them, but he's got a good memory. He'll remember a lot of them. He's going to prophesy them into the city. He's going to invoke the blessing of the Lord over Detroit. Does that make sense? Yes, out loud. You know, like one word. One, two, three words. You're not going to prophesy it. Ta-Nehisi is going to hear what you speak, and he's going to do a big prophecy out of all the words. Okay? Because he's a big prophesier, and he is. You hear him on Sundays. He's up to this. He's up to this. God's got a well in him, a prophetic well, and so he can do this and do it well. So what we're going to do, Gwen, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us a place of where he's forming something in Detroit. And so all you need is just a one or two word description of what that place is. I'm going to take the microphone around so Ta-Nehisi can hear the words. Then Ta-Nehisi is going to do a big whopping prophecy and release it. We're going to invoke the blessing of the Lord on our city. Okay?
Could that be the place is the word? Could that be the place is the word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You could say something like, God's doing something new in hospitals. I just thought of that because I know you do medical stuff. So, you know, if that's what you hear, you don't need to give any more than that. Okay? Does that help? Okay. Well, and you can still use it. It was just that I just thought of it because as I looked at you, I know you're medically trained. And so we're going to stir up our spirit. I'm going to take the microphone around. If you don't have anything, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll just move on, okay? And like I said, Ta-Nehisi's not going to remember all the words anyway. And he doesn't have to. I mean, we could take the time to write them on a big board or something, but we're just not going to do that. That's not the point. So, Father, we just come before you again, and we say we trust you, Lord. We thank you that you've given us ears to hear. We thank you that Christ is in us. We thank you the Holy Spirit is in us, Lord. So, Lord, we're going to pray in the Spirit, and we believe, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us something that you are forming in Detroit, and then we're just going to speak it out. So, thank you. Now, I believe you've heard something by now. So I'm just going to start with me. I heard roadways.
Jobs. Fruits. What trees with different fruit?
Oh, fruit. Okay. Pounding.
Children. Refreshing and light.
Heard rock.
Rocks.
Mm-hmm. Renewal.
Renewal.
Creating wealth.
Sense of community.
Something the Holy Spirit's doing in Detroit.
Partnership.
Partnership.
Neighborhood clubs.
Riverwalk.
All mine is Detroit Police Chaplain Corps.
Okay. Now you're prophesying. But we're adding our faith to your faith. We're adding our well to your well. We're standing as the ecclesia with you because this is an ecclesiastic word that I believe that as you release it, it will go right into the courts of heaven and cause a shifting to happen over our city that is real and tangible, and we will see. And you're the man to do it.
For such is the grace of God. For this is a demonstration of things to come. For the Lord says, I am that I am in you. For this place, for this house is a demonstration of my glory. Not as one that says, let me show you of how to do it, but as one who says, to be, to be, to be. For we declare, Lord God, that the Detroit Police Chaplain, Lord Corp, Lord God, will be a place of destiny, Lord God, will be a place, Lord God, of new release, Lord God, new vessels of honor stepping into their place. It will be as a snapping, as a popping, Lord God. Even the ones that are already there, Lord God, will step into a new dimension, a new position, not just in the natural, Lord God, but as kingdom-minded, kingdom mindset, kingdom position. The Lord, the ones you have will set in places of authority shall be. We declare, Lord God, that the hospitals, Lord God, will be venues of reformation, Lord God. Places, Lord God, where new reform of your glory, of your provision, of your healing, of your word will be demonstrated, Lord God. The nurses, the doctors, Lord God, will see new miracles. Their eyes will see, Lord God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your voice is truly a demonstration. There will be a new release. You are healed. And there will be cries of glory that only my God can be the healer. And it says jobs. We declare that there's a new revival, a new release, a new jobs, a new job, a new job. Not just in something to do, but a new place to be. That my job that will be my work. That my job will be my release. That my job will be my voice. Not as in the old of something to do that I'm just there to make the hour and just to go by and just go about my day. But there's a fulfillment in my job of what I do. Well, may our eyes be open, Lord God, to what you are doing. And may we be a release into the communities that we are in, Lord God, and that the jobs that are coming will be even greater than what they were before. We declare a new release, Lord God, of new openings, new opportunities, Lord God, satisfaction, Lord God, not just in the work, but in who you are and what we fulfill in our work. I can kind of read it, but I'm not quite sure yet. We declare, Lord God, that your fruit, that your harvest is here, that it is plentiful, Lord God. That your fruit of Lord, of who we are will be manifested in you, Lord God. That there will be a demonstration, Lord God, of the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God. Love, joy, health, peace will be on the tips of our tongues, Lord God. And we'll be ones who articulate, Lord God, exactly what those things are. There will be ones who approach us and say, what is it that is different about you? Why do you have so much joy? Why do you have so much peace? And we will be able to release, Lord God, this new harvest, this new demonstration of who you are. For this is the season of breakthrough. This is the hour to not strive, but to command and declare that this is mine, this is ours. That the kingdom is here. And we are the fulfillers of that kingdom. You are our King. You are our Lord. And the pounding of your heart, Lord God, matches ours. May this be a demonstration, Lord God, of who we are in you. Not to compete, not to strive as one in heart, as one in spirit, spirit to spirit, heart to heart. Pounding to pounding, so we shall be.
Thank you, Ta-Nehisi. I do appreciate you and your willingness. And he is a gifted prophesier, but you all already know that. I want to share with you one more thing, and then we're going to dismiss. I want to thank you all for coming to these classes because they weren't as much about teaching as catching something. It was about an impartation. It was about your eyes being opened and for you to know that you know that you know that God has opened doors in front of you and he's inviting you into realms of his glory to see, to experience, and then to minister and release out of those realms of glory. And do not be afraid. And don't think small of yourself. Sometimes, you know, the enemy has different tactics. One is he'll make you feel like you're for whatever reason, you're not important enough to do whatever it is. Because whatever it is always feels super important because it's from God. But he chose you, and you're just the one. And you've got the genetics in you. It's all in you, all the sustenance that needs to go into that word that you speak. And you don't have to speak it fancy. You just have to speak it. That's it. You don't even have to have an audience. It just has to go out into the atmosphere. You know, once it goes into the atmosphere, then God performs it. You don't even have to do any more. It's gone. Choop. You know, that's the way that it works. Okay, I'm going to go back to fire, and I'm going to close with this. You know, I know that you know that God has been speaking fire to us for a long time. Well, there's an appointment in destiny with fire that's coming really soon. At the beginning of the year in January, remember the banner it was hanging over here last with the spirit on it and the raindrops? I was in here one Sunday and I just happened to see that. And when I saw it, the Holy Spirit says, take that home and remake it. And so I took it home. I destroyed it. I couldn't remake it. It didn't, the remaking part didn't work. And so then I went out and I bought new fabric. And so I'm making a new, brand new banner, but I destroyed the old banner. But that's beside the point. So this is what the fire, or this is what the banner is. It's the fire and Holy Spirit. It won't be done for this Sunday, but I think it will be done by the following Sunday, the third, that'd be the 20th. In February, if everything goes good. I'm working on the fire part. It's kind of tedious, but it's awesome. And I'm speaking into it with all of these little strips of fabric, fire fabric. And I have to take breaks because the glue eats the ends of your fingers and it hurts. And so you gotta like do it, and then you gotta stop for a couple hours because your fingers have to heal so you can do it again. But I don't mind all of that. And Sarah Tuminello, who's the gifted artist, is going to do the Holy Spirit part. And so she's going to do that next week. So I got to have the fire done. Then when she does the Holy Spirit dove and we apply that, then all I have to do is put the letters on it and sew it together. So it should be here the 20th. But I want you to know there's a baptism. This is why I've been praying over this banner. That when people see it, they're just baptized in the fire.
Yes.
You know, John says there's one coming greater than him. His name is Jesus, and he's going to baptize you in the Spirit and in fire. This is it. It's it, and it's bold, and it's bright, and it's alive, and it's phenomenal. And I can show you, I mean, if you're really interested in seeing it in advance, I can show you the picture the Holy Spirit led me to, which is I'm making it look like this picture as much as possible. And so I want you, the reason I'm telling you, I don't usually tell this stuff in advance because I like to surprise, but the Holy Spirit said tell in advance because I want you believing. I want you believing my faith's not enough. So I want you to add your faith to my faith like we added our faith, our prophetic gift to Ta-Nehisi so he could bring that forth. I want you to add your faith to my faith that there will be such a fire that comes out of that banner that it will invoke a blessing of fire upon not only our congregation, but wherever God wants to send that fire. Because that's what I believe. I mean, our banners here, you know that our banners say, you know, they have a message. They speak. They say something, and they have a now word. And so will this banner have a now word, and it's saying the Holy Spirit and fire. So, Father, we just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our spirits, for what you've activated. I thank you for this new era, Lord God. We look forward to partnering with you, Lord God, to speak the new earth in this earth for this time and this era. It's not the final end earth, but it's the new earth that you want for now. And so, Lord, we put ourselves in that place again of just saying yes to you, that we will partner with you, we will trust you, we will believe you, we will have the courage to speak those things that you put in our heart and in our mouth to speak. And Lord, then you perform it. We don't do it. You do it by your might, by your strength, by your power. And Father, I thank you for this banner, this new banner that's for this time, that's the Holy Spirit and fire, that it will be alive, Lord, that it'll breathe flames, Lord God, that it'll put flames into this atmosphere and even into this neighborhood. And Lord God, that those flames would penetrate our hearts and set our hearts ablaze, that whatever passion level that we're at, it would take us to a new passion level, Lord God, because we are radically in love with you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, bless these people, bless these men and women, bless my brothers and sisters, bless this corporate ecclesia as we stand together in Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Sue's got something she wants to say.
Well, I guess I want to thank you for being obedient, because you've caused us to grow. You're bringing forth the things that the Holy Spirit has put in us. You are an awesome teacher, and you don't hold yourself higher than anybody else, and you're just real. You're real. You're a real teacher and a real inspirer. So I just appreciate it, and I know everybody else does here. We appreciate you, and we love you.
Thank you. I receive that, and I love all of you.
Okay, I have to say something too.
And you know what? Yesterday when you listened to that Elijah Streams, do you remember what she said about Steve being just this gracious? That's how I see you. And I saw it time and time again at First Fruits for years. Susie always made space and made just a lot of grace for us to bring. And I'd say, well, what do you think about this? That's what you're feeling. You go ahead and do that. There was always this liberty. And it's that same kind of anointing that Steve Schultz carries. And he's going global. I don't expect any less from you.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I do love you, and you are my brothers and sisters and my family, my close family in Christ, and you mean everything to me. And I'm going to bring up my picture because I want you to come and see it, because it's just so incredibly awesome.